Great. Well, I'm really excited about what's happening. Can you? I don't know. We have a problem with this flex. Will it? No, you need to move that as well. I'm sure this is prophetic, Mike. Prophetic Mike, yeah. Yes, I really do find that God is exciting our hearts. When Norman spoke last night, he was saying things that some of us will have heard many, many years ago. And when we heard them, it caused us to sink down in our seats because somehow it was being given to us as a duty, which was piling on hundreds of other duties, which we realized that we were less and less able to meet or keep or do. When it was shared last night, I found that in my heart there was a rise to it. God has done something in me. He's done something in the world. The situation has changed. And there is faith in the atmosphere. And I think when we look at the words of Scripture and when we read Scripture, one of the things God is teaching us to do is to hear the intonation in the voice of the Lord. If when we read those tremendous words, go into all the world, that we hear God speaking to us in a gruff voice with a commandment that lays something upon us that we feel we'll never be able to keep, then there's no hope of us accomplishing what he wants us to do. But if we find that he is speaking something which is already finding an echo in our hearts and faith is welling up within us, then we become excited because we realize that we're joining together with God and with one another to do something that is going to be done, that is actually already accomplished. And that's how I was feeling last night. And I hope you're feeling the same. If there's any vestige of the past within you, then do ask God to eradicate that, to put it to death. I was thrilled to hear Norman say that he'd bought Operation World and that he was reading it every day. I have bought one and I don't read it every day. And some of you will buy one and not read it every day. I just dip into it and I get excited reading about a country here and there. And that's fine because we are going to respond in a way which is seemly to us. We're not going to go back to our fellowships and try to get everybody doing the same thing, all mobilized towards evangelism now as opposed to relationships before. What God is going to do is proliferate and diversificate, if we can say that. Sounds like swearing, doesn't it? But I can assure you it's not. Never forget Hugh Thompson, who once said to a group of young people, get out there and commit celibacy on the streets. They all sort of taken aback for a moment and wondered what immoral act he was asking them to do. But no, I believe God is on the move, and I want to try to come back to that in this session for a short time, if there is opportunity to do that. We've got quite a bit to do, but I'd like to get straight on into this little paper. If you've got it, I'm going to read through it, make a few comments, and let you know what is happening in the team. Team spirit, the next phase, the new team spirit. I had a vision some time ago. Many of you may have heard me mention this vision before, but it was a very simple vision, a very exciting one, of seeing a rocket take off into space. And in fact, that vision has prompted me to write a book, which Kingsway are currently working on and should be out in July, which hopefully will be entitled House Churches Dead or Alive. I've suggested that on the cover they might like to put a skull which will arrest people, but out of the eye of the skull I've asked if we could have a little chicken appear, a chicken or newly birthed chicken out of an egg, to indicate that there's something new coming out of the old. And I don't know whether they can do that because Christian booksellers are rather conservative, to say the least. But I want people to be shocked into understanding that there is no guarantee that because we were used by God yesterday, or we are being used by him today, that we'll be used by him tomorrow. The very start of the book of Revelation is around the candlesticks. And the Lord makes it clear that your candlestick can be removed if it isn't doing the job that it's supposed to be doing. God is not a sentimentalist. He's not saying, oh, well, they did a good job, so we'll let their candlestick hang around for a bit. You know, we used to say when another church closed down, what a terrible thing that the witness was being taken away. In actual fact, when some churches were closing down, it was good because they'd become a hissing place. They'd become a mockery. And they were no longer a testimony. The fact they had Gospel Hall on the outside did not indicate that God was alive inside. Ichabod was written over them. And I saw this rocket taking off, and it was very, very simple. That as the rocket took off, the fuel tanks on the rocket fell away. And the Lord just said these words to me, are you part of the rocket or are you part of the fuel tank? And I suddenly realized that we can look back over the history of the church and we can look into the space and we can see beautiful fuel tanks floating around in orbit around the earth. But they're relics of a bygone era. Fuel tanks are beautiful things. They're designed to do a job. They get the rocket into space on its trajectory towards its objective and its goal. But actually, they don't ever themselves get to that goal. And at that point, I realized that God was saying that we have to be willing to come out of what we're in, not the relationships, not the love, but out of the structures at times, to leave behind those things which are unsuitable to the next phase and to take with us those things that God would have us to utilize and use in that next phase. And I feel this is what is happening to the team and to many of the fellowships that we're working with, that God is helping us to get into the next phase, to make sure that we are a part of the rocket that is moving on towards his destination and not just beautiful relics of a bygone era. As far as I'm concerned, the house church movement is over. We're coming into a new phase. There is another wave rolling in. It was a vehicle that God used. And whatever God did through us at that time has been done. And the ripples of that are still being felt. As I travel around the world, I find that what happened with us here in this corner of God's vineyard has affected the church worldwide, just as the ripples in Thailand and other places are coming back to us. We are affecting one another. And when we, as it were, made our bid or we threw our stone into the pool, those ripples went out. But that's history. The question is, are we going to make some ripples today that are going to affect God's community and ultimately the world? And I believe this is what our report, I hope, is all about. We have a contribution to make. God wants to use us in connection with what he's doing worldwide. And we need to have a structure that is suitable for that. So I'm just going to read through this, make a few comments, and then we'll see where we go from there. As we approach the 90s, it seems more and more obvious to me that we as individuals, as a team, and as a group of fellowships brought together by the Lord, must adapt in order to be relevant for the next phase of our task. There are three words which come to mind when I think about our planning: flexibility, clarity, and commitment. Flexibility, in view of Dave Matthews' recent word given at an Inter-Teams conference concerning our willingness to face death and resurrection in what we are engaged in, and also a common sense that the Lord is not wanting us to get bogged down in our history or our past blessings, we must remain open and willing to stop what we're doing or change direction at any time. Now, many of you won't know about that word. If you want to talk to Dave, if it rings some of your bells, do go and share with him. But we were gathered together at an inter-team retreat at Fairmile Court with Dave Tomlinson's team, Gerald's team, Pete Fenwick's team, Graham Perrin's team, and the folks from Bristol. And Dave gave us a very significant word which found an echo in all of our hearts, that we need to be willing to face death in order that God's resurrection may come to what we're doing. So do speak to Dave about that if you feel you want some clarification on that. However, we do have responsibilities, and we need to ensure that we don't neglect those or breed insecurity in the people we're serving. Clarity, probably largely due to my style of leadership, which if you know me, you'll be familiar with, and our lack of a super administrator. I don't know of any other team that has less administration than we do. But there you go. You might feel that's a wonderful thing. Sometimes it's frustrating. But we have that lack of a super administrator or the funds indeed to support such a one. What at times we do can seem muddled and the direction is not always as clear as it could be. In spite of this, we must endeavour to set well-defined goals and objectives for our various teams and the churches they're working with, as well as for our joint projects. We must then do our utmost to follow through with our planning at all levels. And so we want to bring some sense of order. We don't want to get so bogged down in administration that we sink. But in our particular part of the church, I think we could do with just a little bit more. We all saw the tremendous difference that administration brought to the conference when Mike West and his team, Neil and Pete and others, got involved. So we need that to come in other areas of what we're doing. Commitment. In the midst of sorting out our personal, team or church priorities, particularly those of us on the core group, should not lose sight of our responsibilities to the overall work of Team Spirit. It is very important for us to endeavour to maintain our relationship and harmony, or the relationship and harmony, between the personal and the corporate. Both are vital at this point in our history. I would like to feel that we could give ourselves to support and develop the various initiatives for the next couple of years to lay a good foundation for the future. I fully appreciate that any such dedication should come from a renewed sense of the Holy Spirit's leading, not just our determination. More freedom for the teams. I don't know whether you realise, but for the last year we have been working on giving autonomy to the various teams in Team Spirit. As we are now giving autonomy to the teams, I believe that we have set a course of proliferation and diversification. But I am sure in my own heart that we will continue to need the corporate involvement. There is a fine balance between following our personal calling and bringing our resources together from time to time. Our God-given relationships are the prime means of holding these extremes in tension. Under the broad umbrella of preparing the church for works of service, our general objectives should be: A, to encourage and release the specialist gifts and ministry within the teams and the fellowship we serve, to work here in the UK and in the many situations opening up to us overseas. B, to provide the security and the context in which this can happen. C, to increase the facilities and resources we make available to our groups and also to the church at large. D, to prepare for increased worldwide mission activity in the 1990s. E, to extend our relationships and cooperation with other streams. I'm aware that these aims are very broad and there is a considerable overlap, but we shall need to bring them down to specifics and interpret them into people and situations. Team structure. The present small core consisting of myself, Dave Matthews, Phil Vogel, Norman Barnes and Alan Pavey will continue to steer and set the direction for the overall work of Team Spirit. This core will meet regularly with a wider grouping of team leaders. We should expect the number of teams to grow and also the number working in those teams. We are now more an association or a family of teams with our objectives as originally outlined in our first profile. Now, there may be folks here that haven't seen those objectives, but if you need them, we can get them to you. Just simply a basic list of goals that we had set ourselves and objectives that we were aiming at. The definition of our relationships in the team and to the fellowship should remain the same. Our revised slogan will be teams working together to prepare the church for works of service. The core, the present core, will continue, although I believe Alan Pavey should act as a friend and advisor. I don't think that it's realistic for him to be in a full working position at present in view of his heavy workload with Farah. Just when Alan began to be released into ministry, Farah International approached him to become the European director of the whole of Farah. And we all felt that that was a right move for Alan, but it did rather clobber him. And some of you may have wondered why you haven't seen more of him, but that's the reason. He was here yesterday. He's not here at the moment, is he? But I think he's coming back later on today. So the core will have oversight of the work of Team Spirit with myself leading. Decisions on inter-team matters such as finance, major appointments, joint projects, discipline, policy, pastoral appointments, etc. Will be taken at core level through consultation together and reference back to the teams where appropriate. As it stands, I have the right to make final decisions when necessary. Should this be necessary, I will take full responsibility for those decisions. So if I act as an authority in Team Spirit, then I have to take the responsibility for what I do and say, which is fair enough. It's always been the way it was in the past, so nothing's changed in that respect. A, the personal needs and ministry. Sorry, future core meetings will be structured along the following lines, with time for the personal needs and ministry, etc., to those on core. B, reports, discussions and decisions relating to the work and ministry of Team Spirit. To get through this kind of program, we'll need to meet at least one day every month, with the morning given over to prayer and relational matters and the afternoon to business. For the present, Dave Matthews will prepare the agenda for the Corps and keep us to this outline. Ideally, we will look for funds to support a full-time administrator who should keep notes, act as a PA to me, and ensure that decisions taken are initiated. I would also hope that at some point adequate officers facilities will be found so that we can bring our administration into line with our operation. With around 30 people on the team, we're the size of a small business which would have a turnover of millions. We cannot expect to function well without these simple amenities. Anyone who is in business will know that if you have a staff the size of our team, then you have quite a sizable business on your hands. And we are actually running that on a shoestring. My leadership strengths lie in the area of drawing people together and creating a context for them to develop their ministry. I recognise that there are some limitations to my abilities, especially in view of my wide-ranging ministry at present. I'll say something more about that in a moment. I believe I also give an overall security focus as well as being an ideas person. However, I'm not always the best person to carry through those ideas. Others on the Corps and in the teams will have areas for which they're accountable. For example, Phil Vogel and leadership training. Once we have agreed an area of activity and its policy, such as LTC, a core member or team will oversee it, and the outworking of that will become their responsibility. And again, that's already happening to some degree. Team leaders. Team leaders will meet regularly with the core for communication, discussion, planning and reporting on their work. They should also know that they have access to us at any time. They need to be free to input their opinions, suggestions and questions, so there is a good flow of life between the teams. At present, Bren Robson is the only team leader not on the Corps, although Ian Farr is now effectively leading the Essex team and is considering doing this on a permanent basis. Also, Jim Hull is seriously thinking about taking responsibility for a team. And others of you will know that in the long term, we've talked to you and encouraged you to begin to pray and think towards some kind of team in your locality or in your country, as the case may be. Finances. Groups will be encouraged to give directly to the team with which they are working. Each team will have a faith target to achieve in order to support the overall work. Mike Taverner. Mike, would you just stand up? For those of you that don't know, this is our friendly bank manager. We brought him out of the cupboard today to be with us. Very glad that you're with us, Mike. Mike has agreed to oversee the whole of our finances and to help us work within realistic budgets. We have flown by the seat of our pants. We now have a navigator. John Norton has submitted a preliminary budget for office, staff, etc. This will need to be reviewed in the light of giving from various teams. And this giving must, of course, be conducive with the individual team's work, their circumstance and faith. The monies, hopefully, will enable us to create or achieve our aspirations. Those aspirations are to provide an administrator for me and generally help me to function in my ministry, and to develop the work and ministry of the team as a whole. After thinking about the support of individual team members other than admin personnel from this fund, I believe that we should change our policy and pay no one a ministry from it. You probably know that our policy in the past has been people-orientated, which is very good, and I think that's firmly established in our hearts. We're more interested in people than we are things. But because of that, any monies we've had has always gone towards ministry and the furtherment of the work of ministry rather than actually administration, and that's one of the reasons why we've suffered. We've always been bringing people out in ministry but never putting the foundation in that can organise and get that ministry going. So by creating a precedent, we always look to this source and will therefore perpetuate the situation of ministry before admin. Ministry should find its support from the work or from the group served. To this end, we will want to help Dave Matthews and Ian Trainer, who are both supported through the Team Spirit funds, through to total financial independence. Please don't panic. We are not going to drop them in the ocean. We want them to be better off than they are, if anything. So, could you put that on pause, please? We would expect projects, in most cases, to be self-financing and, in some instances, to create funds for the overall work of team. One of the things that has really kept us alive and blessed us is that when we've come away to these leaders' weekends, you folks have been generous to us and have enabled us to continue doing what we're doing. Projects. The list of possibilities are endless, but there are a number of things already in the pipeline and others strongly in our thinking. Present: leadership training conferences, worship training, women's days, youth work and weekends, celebration events and holiday conferences, inter-team relationships and links international. Future: AIDS and health-related issues. That's going to be a very important issue. It is already an important issue. And I praise God for what the Lord is doing through Gerald and his team at Pioneer. Tremendous things happening at that level. And I believe we need to ask God to help us to provide a service for our groups and for the wider church that will enable us to know what to do in terms of the AIDS situation. Is that the green box, the red box, or the black box? It's Bren. Okay. Evangelism and training, overseas work and mission, marriage and family life, area-wide leadership, education and schooling, magazine and publishing, promoting the arts and the artists. And we could say that many of those things are already strongly on the drawing board. Without overstretching ourselves, we should consider all means available to us to reach out in these areas. This may be as joint or inter-team projects or by individual teams taking up a particular concern. Growth of team spirit. Growth will take place in two ways. Firstly, by individuals joining teams, and secondly, by whole teams linking in with us. Obviously, we would expect the foundations of our relationships and common vision or objectives to be a force which holds us together. Teams will be free to introduce new members into their ranks in conjunction with the team itself, the team leader, and the core. Linking of whole teams would certainly need to be a matter for the core. In all cases, it is recommended that an engagement period of 6 months or a year is considered, after which it is clear, a clear agreement to continue permanently or not should be made. Promotion. We must soon think about producing new stationery and possibly a new profile, as we're sadly out of date now. The latter possibly would be best done as a loose leaf folder so that we can add to it or take away from it. Individual teams should prepare their own profiles and a form, in a form which will tie in with the overall design. And here we have a number of guidelines which are specifically for the teams that we're working with. We want you to see that as well, because we feel that we're not just trying to create a super organisation, but there is a benefit which we give to one another. And the wonderful thing is that when someone who is comparatively unknown comes into the team, they benefit from the team. They gain credibility in a strange kind of way from what we're doing, believe it or not. And that opens doors for them, and they find a context for their work. And we've seen that happen again and again and again. Sometimes it takes a while, but it happens. Then, in some cases, they become more well-known than the team itself. And there's a sense in which they need to give us credibility from what they're doing. And so jointly, we help one another. A phrase came to mind, but it's the wrong one. We'll scratch your back if you scratch ours. But probably doesn't adequately explain what I'm trying to say. Yeah, okay, scrub that from the tape. I think, for instance, Ian is a point in case. Ian Trainer, God has so used Ian. He has taken a musician who was comparatively unknown a few years ago and placed him right in the heart of what is happening in this nation. And there's almost no door that is not open to Ian. He's got so many invitations. Pastors or congregations are inviting him to become pastor of their church and all kinds of things because they've been so blessed by the worship leading that he's doing. And there's far more on the slate, in a sense, that he can cope with in that respect. And Ian has become an ambassador for the team. And so I feel that we need to do that for one another. We don't just drink, as Gerald Coates says, from the Coke can and then screw it up and throw it away. And you'll find if that's what goes on in your fellowship, with the people taking what they can get from the leaders, and when they've got it, saying thank you very much and moving on. We need to have input back into the source from which we've got life, and thus the whole body is edified and built up together. So these are not commandments, these are suggestions so that we begin to promote one another. On the back page, you'll find a sort of outline of the budget that we would anticipate, which I think is reasonably modest for some kind of administration. Now, what I'd like to do now, just for a moment or two, is, how long have we got?
What's the time now?
Oh, great. Oh, good. Yeah, we're doing okay. We're doing fine. I'd like to just say a few things in terms of news about team and team members. I've already introduced Mike Tavener to you, and we're very grateful to Mike. It's going to take him a while, but he's going to get involved in understanding the inner workings of the team. He will be the first man that has ever done that. Then he is going to explain it to us. And then he is going to bring security in the area of our finances. So we really appreciate having Mike. He's not at the part of the team in the sense that he's joined as a member, but he's a trusted friend and has helped us tremendously through recent months. So it's good to have Mike with us. Then there are a number of team members that are not with us because they're otherwise involved. For instance, Ian Farr and John Norton are in India at the moment with a team of 15 people, I think, which again is interesting, isn't it? At the very moment we're talking about going into all the world, there's a group out there doing it. Tony Pullen. Hands up those that know Tony. Great. Praise the Lord. Tony has been involved in the team, but obviously in a limited way because of his employment. But Tony now has had news from his company that they would like him to move. I don't know whether you know, but he didn't have a spiritual home up there in Carlisle, and he was very frustrated by that, felt very clearly the Lord sent him there, but was praying about a spiritual home, and the company came to him and said, we want you to move to Nottingham. And so he popped down to Nottingham and found a little group there called the Ravenshead Christian Fellowship, or whatever it is, with Steve and Kathy. What is it?
It's not
solid. No. Okay, thanks, Norman. And it was love at first sight. And so Tony is moving down to Ravenshead. In fact, he's there this weekend looking for a house with Muriel and the rest of the family. So that's a really exciting development because he fills a gap in their fellowship that they've been praying about. And so, you know, we're thrilled. Sorry? Oh, he's excited. Great. Wittering. Great. Is Dave Mills with us yet? Right, well, I hope he's going to be here, so if you're missing him, I hope he'll be with us today. And Ian and Anita, I was going to get them there. I think Ian's coming back later on. Yeah, yeah, okay. Well, I was going to get them to come out and stand up, but I'll do that when they're here together. It'd be much better to have them standing up out here at the front when they're actually here. Is that good? Dave Matthews from Ireland agrees with me. Rod, would you like to just come out and share what's happening to you and Trudy, very briefly?
Oh,
no.
Not the other thing, Rod.
No. Get this straight.
Not the family problem.
Yes. Thank you.
Can you put that on pause?
No. Thank you. That's all for now.
Now you know why we have such a job, don't we?
I think it's just over a year ago, Trudy and I were coming to sort of a realisation that in some way we were coming to the end of something in our lives, and we couldn't really describe that, what that really meant, but we just felt we were coming to the end of an era in some way. And we were praying about that for some time and just felt we wanted to be open to God to understand what that really meant, what our feelings were saying to us. And as time went by, we just really asked God to show us and said that we were open to do whatever God wanted us to do. And we were prepared to go literally anywhere because we began to feel that that entailed a move. And we scoured the world and by one means or another ended up deciding that God wanted us to move to Guildford. Which is, of course, the centre of spirituality in Guildford. But the reasons for that really are very practical. God seems to have opened up a door for me into publishing, and I'm now working with a company called Sovereign World, which some of you may have heard of, as editor. And practically speaking, the best place for me to be with regards to the work that I'm doing, although I work from home, is south of the river. And also, in terms of our team relationships, I'm in Bren's, the team that Bren's leading, which is the resources team, and obviously I've got to know Terry very well and some of the folk in Guildford. And so everything practically seemed to be pointing towards Guildford. I can't say that, you know, God spoke out of heaven, but then God doesn't often speak out of heaven to me. It just seems to work by circumstances most of the time. And so we really felt that's what we should be doing. After a few abortive attempts, we actually settled on a house in Guildford, and we hope to be moving at the beginning of May, which we're really quite excited about. We're now looking forward to very much, and so are our boys, which is very important.
Great, thank you, Will. We all tend to underplay ourselves, and I think we're masters at the art of the understatement, and I think Rod really has prayed this through, and I feel God has spoken from heaven. My own feeling is that heaven is here if God dwells in us, and I think that's where they feel God has spoken. God who speaks from up there probably can't get in here. I think that's what I tend to feel. That's the reason why I have to shout from up there. But I feel Rod is doing the right thing. We're very encouraged by that. And the fellowship in Collier Row releasing Rod. And it's just great. So we're praising the Lord for that. So perhaps Wes and Mary, would you like to come out together? Here are two very special people that I want you to get to know. They are friends of Christine and ours, Christine and mine, and I think we probably met through Spring Harvest, but we've known one another on and off for a few years now, and they have been going through some kind of change. Wes, for well, it's the age, it's their age. You're going through the change, is that right? They have been working with British Youth for Christ. Before that, they were involved with the North London Community Church, and they're at a point where they've really been seeking God as to what their future is. And I'd like Wes and Mary just to say a few things, and then we'll tell you how we're feeling about them here in team.
Preaching with a view is always described as a church that's big enough to knock down the walls so that you see what you're looking at. We, as John said, we're working with YSC. We like Rob, felt that we were coming to the end of one phase and the beginning of something else. Within YSC, I did various sort of odd jobs. My main burden has been in the area of worship. I think as the Church of God, we need not only to have worship in the sanctuary, but we need to take the sanctuary out into the world. And as some of the psalms often say, I will declare your praise in the earth. And we need to be doing some declaring as well as some worshipping. And that's something that God's really put on our hearts. We felt, too, that one of the important things for us was to have a context in which that could happen. That was not only youth-orientated, but and so for that reason, we felt that the time had come for us to leave YFC. And John picked us up on the M1, really. I was just hitching. so, but I wasn't a Christian then. But anyhow, so that's what we look for.
He's got the disease already.
He has a clue what you're talking about.
No, exactly.
Yes, I wonder how I could make this up as I go along. So that's really what we look for. We also, obviously, when I was working with YSC in London, we had to sort of live in there, so we got the opportunity to look for a different house and a different fellowship and everything, which is giving us a really clean sort of a break. Is that okay?
Yeah, well, it's a sort of start. It's not bad.
No.
I don't know. Wes, actually, when we see him in operation, takes the 3 weeks of the youth work at Spring Harvest with Mary and the team up there. And that is a task in itself. Anybody that can do that, you have to understand, they're very, very gifted people. How many young people did you have last year?
1,200.
1,200 teenagers from, you know, through the Easter period for 3 weeks is no mean feat. And tell us some of the things that you saw quickly, Wes, in Spring Harvest. Or Mary, why don't you tell us? Let's hear from you.
The voice.
No, I can't remember.
Just hold it.
Yeah. Some of the things we saw, well, difficult to say, really. I think one of the things is to actually see young people released from a lot of things that bind them down, particularly in the world. I think the influences, the peer pressures, the materialism, all those pressures on kids today are just so great. And to see those kids actually released from those pressures is probably, I'd say, the highlight. I mean, some of them have got so bound up that they actually need deliverance. And to see those kids actually visibly look different. Their spirits were changed, and physically, you saw them the next day, they would actually be able to praise. I remember one girl who, through every meeting during the worship, her face was absolutely stony, not a smile on her face, and even actually to look at her, she almost looked masculine in appearance. She looked so depressed. She was suicidal. She was so... I'm just saying... Thank you. But, thank you. But no, it was.
Go on, you go for it. Go
thank
on.
You.
Glory.
No, but it was absolutely glorious to see this same girl the next day, radiant, looking different, totally changed, a beautiful girl, and what a change God had changed her. It was just so wonderful, and it makes it all so worthwhile. I mean, it's a lot of hard work, 3 weeks, real hard work, but it is just so worthwhile.
Tell us about your family.
Family, we have 3 children, 10, 11 and 13, and 2 of them are actually in school in Loughton, Davenant. We felt that's very important, and so that's why we are sort of perhaps looking to move nearer the school from where we are now. They have a very long journey every morning. 2 girls and 2 boys. Yeah.
One.
Well, sorry. Can't count. That was prophetic. I think I best have a word with you, darling.
Is there something I don't know?
I think I'd better hand over to
yes,
you.
I think you'd better. No, not quite. I'm just trying to make sure that I don't say anything that will be a total disaster in the next second or two. We're very thrilled with a relationship that's developing with Wes and Mary. We're taking our time. They're not actually officially members of the team, but that's the kind of direction that we're moving in. It seems, as we've waited upon the Lord, we started off with some ideas and they've developed, but it does seem at the moment as if they will be linking up with the folks in the Essex area. Ian Farr is away at the moment and he hasn't had time to talk that through with the team, but when he does, they'll sit down together, and that seems to be the direction that we're moving in. And we just want you to pray for them. In the meantime, they don't have to be a member of Team Spirit to be of valuable use to you. If you feel you can use them in some way, you may find that during this interim period, they've got a little bit more time than they will have in a month or two. I'm just commending them to you. And if you want to get hold of Wes and say, have you got some spare time to come into our group over the next month or two, we'd just love to have you. So, Wes and Mary, the Lord bless you. We love you.
Bless you.
Thank you. Great. Is there anybody else on the team that I should be, that's not here sort of thing? Phil Jones, yes, of course. Phil and Steph, would you like to just tell us about Phil and Steph? You probably know more about the... Yes, I know that, but I wanted him to say.
Just an addition to the family.
That's a baby. That's called a baby, that is. Addition to the family, you know what I mean? Go on. I should have done it myself. No.
I think, you know, that Phil always goes around with a guitar with an Indian feather on it. I think he's got something about heart's desire after cowboys, and he's called the little boy Zachary.
Right.
And I think that's fulfilling Phil's desires.
Do you know what he weighed in at?
£8 something, wasn't it?
Oh, right.
About £8.05, wasn't it, Eddie?
Yes.
£8.05 is the smallest one so far. They're all doing fine.
Great. Good. So that's super as well. Can understand why he's not here. Good. Right, let's... Norman. Norman says why. Okay, we're going to move on. I want to talk to you now about the magazine. You've probably seen in your folder.
In particular... was an administrator, personal assistant for John. And if I can just heighten that for you, that we really do corporately think that through. I know that later on we'll talk about it. But I see it as a very vital key for our progress in terms of team. John has been a door opener for many of us. He now has an international reputation. I know he won't like me saying all this, but he has moved quite extensively at the moment around the world, meeting various people, representing us. And you know what John is like. He will always be talking about us, what we're doing, promoting us and so on. He's not the kind of man simply to promote himself or to create more ministry for himself. And I see that as a very key situation. If John doesn't get an administrator of some sort, he'll die. And to me, I believe then we will have lost something very, very important to all of us. So if you can take that on in the sense that we really do seek the Lord, because I don't only think that the finance is the thing, the person is also important. And we need the right person to be able to work for John, to serve him and honour him, to catch his vision and everything else, so that John isn't to spend endless amount of time going with the thing, but we've got somebody who's anticipating and working with and working for. To me, that is a key. I think that if we can really think that through and take that on, it's going to make the difference as to where we go to in terms of team and teams. For me, I see that John is a visionary. I do believe that John is seeing much, much more about teams than many others. And we sort of catch up with where he's at. And he's speaking all the time of something future, because I believe he's after something. And I personally want to go with that. I feel safe with John in that. And so I want to take that on. If you would do that as well, because I know it is an item there, but if you can underline that item on that report and take it on your heart and pray, not just for the finance, but also that we may know the person who's going to do it, I believe then a whole heap of things will break open and release a whole lot more for all of us. John has already had and creates enough work for us. I believe if we can release John, there'll be plenty more. Folks are saying, what do we do? Where do we go? Where are the opportunities? They are endless. But I do believe it's locked in to actually getting John free in that area. So if you can take that on, I really would appreciate that. And pray, even today, wait on God, whatever you need to do, that we'll begin to see that thing coming through. And if you feel there's somebody you know or whatever, then feel free to suggest that to us or whatever. Let's begin to explore that area. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Norman. I think in view of what Norman said, I'll change the order in which I was going to do things, because I think we do need to just perhaps drive a point home here. I feel that God has been at work in a very, very special way. I have travelled the world extensively. I've given myself to travelling. I've kind of held myself back from the pressure to get out there for 2 or 3 years at least. And I haven't done a great deal of international travel except in relation to the people that we have responsibilities to. But about 6 to 9 months ago, I felt the Lord lift that and say, look, you've got to, even though you're busy, you've got to get out there and you've got to meet people over the next few months. And having done that, it seems to me that God has been at work over the last decade or so, actually rather like an electrician in a house. You know, when a house needs rewiring and the electrics are inadequate and you look at them, you realise you've got to do something radical. And it seems to me that many of the linkages that had been made were inadequate. And we found fuses blowing. Hopeful groupings of people that came together didn't mature. And there were divisions and things like that. And no doubt there'll be a few more. It's as if the fuse was blowing. And some of us were frustrated because there seemed to be a power in the unity that was emerging. But the Lord was saying, no, this circuit needs changing. I need to do more fundamental work on it. And he allowed those things to happen in order that something greater might emerge. And it's as if the Lord has rewired the house and he is switching on the fuse boxes and different areas of the house are coming alive. That's the feeling that I have as I travel around. Because you meet people. We're talking about Dr. Kriensak Cherinwongsak. I think that's how you say his name. I went out knowing I was going to meet him recently in Singapore. And I thought, well, I'm really looking forward to meeting this guy who's doing something out there in this country. And I hope I get the opportunity to chat to him. I'm sure he's going to be a busy person. Everybody will want to see him. And as I walked into the room where he was, he came up to me. He said, John Noble. I said, yeah. He said, oh, I've heard about you. He said, I'm so thrilled to have the privilege of meeting you. And I was completely taken aback. And we sat down and we fellowshipped together, and I told him about Andy. And when I got home, I phoned Andy's wife, Yvonne, and said, get in touch with Andy, tell him to go and see Dr. Kriensack, which Andy did. He was welcomed there, and he's been invited out there to take some dance workshops and things in the church out there, and also the fish farm project that he's involved with. Might tell us a little bit more about that. Dr. Kriensack wants to use that as a working model in his own situation. So immediately there was a link created. Just 2 or 3 days after Andy got back from Thailand and I was home, I got a letter from him saying, what a privilege it was to meet you. I recognize there's an openness in your heart, an expansiveness. We were talking to Catholics and others together, and it was the first time, I think, that he'd had that experience. He said, I must meet you when I come to England next week, which is next week. And unfortunately, I'm going to be away, but we've got Norman and probably Andy going up to meet him for a breakfast in London at 8 o'clock in the morning. Well, that's just one simple thing where suddenly you find there's an electricity flowing, that God has prepared something because he is doing something worldwide. I really believe, and the vision that I had many, many years ago was that ultimately God is going to set up, in spite of all the hiccups and the enemy activity, is going to set up a network of relationships around the world where there is trust and where there is love. It will not be a super organization, but it will be something which is built on trust and love. And that will enable Jesus, the captain of the host of the Lord, to do an instant work, a sudden work in the world. And my own conviction is that we are in the last 10 or 12 years of history, not just because it's the year 2000, but I do believe that history is coming to its conclusion. The harvest is growing up. And so I feel that we need to meditate upon these things, get them into our hearts, persevere with relationships, keep open hearts, don't compromise, but begin to see how God is causing these linkages to take place. I'd like to tell you just about three conferences that I was invited to and that I have become a part of. The first one was in September of last year when I went to Europe. To Bern in Switzerland to meet with a group of charismatic leaders called together by the men who ran Acts 86 2 years ago. And they felt that God wanted them to do something ongoing, but that they should put Acts 86 to death, and it had to be something entirely new, and it had to involve a wider grouping of people. That as broad as Acts 86 was, it was still too narrow. And so they brought together 30 people or so in Bern in Switzerland. There was Michael Harper, Marcel Dietler, and a number of other men. And I was invited together with Clive Calver and Phil Moabir from this country. Can't remember if there were others, but certainly those two were invited. Clive couldn't make it, but Phil Moabir was there. And we prayed together and sought the Lord about the future. And what emerged from that conference was that we should call together a European leadership conference in 1989 that will take place in Bern in Switzerland. And that will bring leaders together from every denominational stream and every nation within Europe to seek God, to pray, to have input, and to be drawn together in order to complete the Great Commission. The agenda is unity, evangelism, and holiness. Those three things, unity, holiness, and evangelism. And I found myself very, very excited there. One of the first people Chris and I chatted to amongst those 30 people was a man called Raniero Cantalamessa, who is a Roman Catholic dressed in his habit and just a lovely man. And as we chatted to him, we realized that this man was the preacher to the Pope. He was actually responsible for preaching not for the Pope, on behalf of the Pope, but to him. And he shared with us that he'd had a revelation from God, which was the very revelation that I had when I started my ministry from the book of Haggai, that God wanted to build a temple which was not made with hands, that would be ultimately filled with his glory. That glory, the foundation was Christ, the capstone was Christ, that the glory was the Holy Spirit, and that God was going to fill his temple with the Holy Spirit. I thought, wow, here is a man right next to the Pope who got the same vision that I got 20 years ago. And he said that when he had that revelation, he was so excited. He got up and he knew that he had to preach that message to the Pope. Now, I'm not quite sure whether he's done it, but that's where we're heading. Now, there are so many things I find it hard to relate to amongst the Catholics, but all I have to say is that God is moving. These are men and women of God. Tom Forrest, I'll come on to that in a minute, is another Catholic I'll tell you about in a minute. But that's Europe. And perhaps some of us should be thinking about preparing to attend that conference where there will be people from Eastern Europe. That's why we're going to Switzerland, because, in fact, it's easier for many Eastern Europeans to get to Switzerland than it is to go to another Eastern European country. So we're going to hold that conference out there. And there was a brother there who spoke up and said, if we're going to have this conference, we need to give the platform over at times to our house church brethren, because if we're talking about leadership, in many ways they have been doing it. We're just on the brink of seeing what God is saying. And that was the kind of openness there was towards what we're doing. So that was Europe. I moved on from there to a conference in January in California. What a trial. And what a tribulation to have to go to California in January. But anyway. Yeah. Around about 60 people on this occasion gathered together. This time, there were three strands. There was the evangelical strand, there was the social activist strand, and the charismatic strand. Now, the evangelicals are strong on the word, the charismatics are strong on the spirit, and the social activists are strong on action. And before I went there, the Lord seemed to drop a verse into my mind. A threefold cord is not easily broken. I'm told that that is taken entirely out of context. But blow it. Paul seems to take things out of context, and if he can, then I can. My black friend, Don Thomas, when I met him, said, I have got exactly the same verse. And we went to that conference only to be utterly amazed at the unity that there was. Michael Harper was there from our country, together with Roger Forster, Graham Cray, Dave Tomlinson, Phil Barber, myself, and probably some others, David Pryor, an Anglican. The guy from Sheffield, the Anglican from Sheffield. No, Warren, is it? Robert Warren. Robert Warren. And there were others. And then there were folk like Ron Sider, Larry Christensen, the guy who wrote Celebration of Discipline, Foster, Richard Foster, yeah, and a number of other people from all five continents of the world. And there we explored what charismatics would like to say to social activists, what social activists would like to say to charismatics, and so on. And all I can say is that, again, there was just a tremendous harmony. It seemed to me, this is how it seemed, that when the social activists stood up to say what they would like to say to the charismatics, they were almost saying, we have been trying to do it without the Holy Spirit. Will you help us to get the Holy Spirit? It seemed, give or take a little emphasis, that some of the charismatics at any rate were saying, we have the Holy Spirit, but actually we haven't done very much with him. Can you help us to see where we need to hone in and actually become those who interpret the life of God into action? And we prayed together. There was weeping, there was getting right with one another, and there is a desire to move forward in that. Hence the two papers in your folder, one from Graham Cray, the other from Roger Forster, which I feel were probably the most significant papers. But there were people from every continent. Rick Thomas was there, another Catholic guy, you might have heard of him, from El Paso, the Viva Cristo Rey guy. He and I just got on like a house on fire. He's almost as bungling as I am. And he had a T-shirt on that was sort of hidden. And somebody said, what have you got on your T-shirt there? And he opened it out and it said, have you kissed your horse this morning? And he shared some of the things that are happening, the multiplication of food. That they have fairly common occurrences of the multiplication of food. We're actually having multiplication in Team Spirit now. Have you noticed it? Paper, actually. We're into the multiplication of paper. But they're seeing some tremendous things happen out there. And he just shared in a very simple way that knocked people over, because all that they were saying we wanted to do in terms of social action and the power of the Spirit, they were doing as Catholics. And it was just so tremendous. And people began to ask him sort of serious questions. Are you affected by liberation theology? And he said, well, I'm not sure I know what liberation theology is, you know. That quietened folk down quite a bit. So. And somebody said to him, have you had any problems? He said, well, yeah, he said, There was an occasion when I called the whole church together, and a woman had died, and I told them all that she was going to be raised from the dead, and we prayed to her for 2 hours, and she wasn't raised from the dead. And everybody felt, well, that's fairly honest. But what he didn't tell us, and we found out afterwards, that they had 3 or 4 cases where they had prayed for the dead, and they were raised. So that kind of thing is going on there. And we're just so thrilled that we're meeting with these folks from around the world, that God is bringing us together. And so do get hold of those two papers and see what Roger and Graham are saying about the three strands and about the theology of the kingdom. Because many of us have a vision for the kingdom, but unless we have all the elements necessary, then we're not going to accomplish the things that we desire. So that was California. And then just recently in Singapore, again, charismatics coming together from all over the world, from every continent of the world, coming together to say, how can we encourage world mission at the end of this age? Tom Forrest, a Catholic, again had this vision. He was praying, and the Lord spoke to him and challenged him about world vision. He began to ask the Lord, what can I do? And he came up with the thought that he wanted to give Jesus a birthday present in the year 2000, and he wanted to start to plan for it now. And that birthday present was going to be a world more Christian than non-Christian by the year 2000. Now, you saw the statistics last night that effectively there are roughly 30% of the world that is Christian at the moment, and or at least professing to be Christian. His objective and goal is to see the 50% barrier broken by the year 2000. And his desire is not to do it as Catholics, but to do it as Christians. And he wants to work with, and he has spoken to the Pope on a number of occasions and has received the Pope's blessing and go ahead. He actually resides in Rome. The offices that he works in are in Rome, and he has a friendship relationship with the Pope, and the Pope has given his blessing to that. And thus, this group was called together as charismatics from every nation, or every continent rather, and every denomination, in order that they could work together. And it was interesting to see men like Bob Mumford speak freely about his vision of apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers, and Bishop Moses Tay and Bishop Timotheus from India, from the Orthodox Church there, together, just open, receiving the word of God, saying their amens, in order that we could see the whole church rise up together to do something effective for Jesus in this last century. Obviously, Satan is going to be active to seek to bring this thing down. He doesn't want it to happen. He is going to try to put suspicion, fear, and all kinds of things in our hearts. But I believe that God is preparing the ground, if we have faith, to see something tremendous happen in that last decade. My prayer is that God will not have to allow persecution to bring us together, but that Jesus will get a free will offering before, because I think it's only going to be a free will offering that really gets the job done. If we're forced together, then I believe somehow that that is almost second best. We may have to suffer, but let's suffer not in order that we should come together, but because we've come together and we're presenting a united front against the enemy. There are so many things, you know, that I could share out of all that. Just the only other one thing I want to say is a fourth conference, which is significant. All taken place since September of last year, and that was the Forward Together conference that Norman, Jeff Williams, Ross Patterson, Phil Mobier, and Stanley Davis put together. And that was a conference to bring together house church people and the old mission societies. And we wondered how that would go. Do you want to just tell us some of the people that were there, Norman, quickly?
Oh, certainly. From the house church team, it's like the who's who. We had those from Harvest Time were there, a guy called Ted Kent, Terry Virgo from Coastland Sling. There was men like Tony Sargent from Worthing Baptist Church, Stanley Davis from the Evangelical Missionary Alliance. There were those from Bristol. There was the Sheffield team, our team, Pioneer. I think almost every stream of house church was represented there. And then we had people like the WEC people there, the CLC people there, Patrick the Nepal Johnson. Fellowship, Patrick Johnson. George Verber was there. It was Lynn Green. All of these people from YWAM, OM, Horizons were there. We keep going with them. Christian Union. I mean, just anybody who was everybody. In the end, I've got the answer. You make it exclusive and everybody wants to get into it.
That's the way, actually. And in the end, I think, you know, we had literally, we had people fighting to want to get in. I mean, the list is going on for people to get in. And it really was like the who's who of the sort of evangelical plus house church world. But it was remarkable to hear people like George Verwer. I can't tell you how highly he spoke of the house church movement. I mean, it was quite incredible. He sees us as the great, one of the greatest evangelistic vehicles that there is. He said, I cannot speak highly enough of the house church movement in terms of evangelism because you care for people. And I thought, man, am I in the right thing here? And in actual fact, I had to publicly apologize to George because I had totally misrepresented him. Having heard him a few years ago about his anti-sort of charismatic house church attitude, I publicly had to repent of that and go and pray with him. And he was just a broken man. I mean, one after the other came, fell on his shoulders. We broke bread together, prayed together, and he was weeping. I mean, George, get him in a prayer meeting, man. He is something else when he gets praying. He really is incredible to be with. And it was a superb time. Now, the interesting thing is, you see, so much of what we take for granted is so radical. For instance, they asked us to conduct a communion service, breaking of bread. And it was my responsibility to be in charge of that. And so what I decided to do was that we would use the opportunity to get right with one another. Where there were things that we'd said wrong about each other or criticism we'd made, we'd actually use that as an opportunity to go and break bread and ask forgiveness or to pray together or to renew covenant with one another and so on. And we began to do this. And I said, don't just feel that you can break bread with one person. Go and break bread with several people. Now, you would think, I mean, for us, that is general. It just blew people out of the ground. The fact you could actually break bread with more than one person. And all of a sudden, I mean, God just came in and people were weeping and crying and praying with each other. And it was absolutely amazing. Tony Sargent from, I've got to be careful, it's on the tape. Tony Sargent from Worthing went all the way home with Rodney Kingston. He says, do you normally break bread like that? He says, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, like on a one-to-one basis going around. So he said, well, on a fairly regular basis. I have never done it before. He said, it is the most incredible breaking of bread service I have ever been in my life. I mean, this is one of our national ministries. I'm thinking, where's he been? You know, and those simple things like that just broke in on the man's life. He wrote a long letter to John. We've had such warm response back from the Forward Together conference in terms of people who have really caught something. So it was a very, very key and exciting time for people to be brought together and under that umbrella. And the title, I feel, has captured something. I think the Forward Together title is actually captured something, and we're planning now for December of this year, and hopefully one of the things that I'll be able to do when we go and have breakfast with Korean Sake is ask him to come and speak to that conference. And the thing is opening up. I tell you, God is doing things, and if we will be who we are and be sensitive to the people that are around us and believe in what God has given to us, for which we take for granted, our friendships, our openness to each other, we take for granted, really are the things that the church wants to know about. But equally, we can learn a great deal, as I was saying last night, because these folks are moving on. They're touching things that we have not touched and at the moment cannot touch. But God is saying, let's come together on it. And it really is a channel. I mean, for Neil Rowe, who works for the WEC, I mean, he's a lovely, lovely guy and very, very open to us. In fact, he asked us to submit a paper to him because he spoke at the international conference for all the WEC workers. They call them all over from Europe and around the world together, and he was speaking. And his address was the house church movement. And he asked us, would we supply him with a paper and information and people that he could reach in order to do it? Because up in the conference, he said, folks, you need to know this is what God is doing, and we need to get in on it. We need to know what is happening. We need to be aware of what is going on. And I mean, that is being spoken at the international conference for all WEC workers. And he was saying things like, we will give you all the expertise. If you want to go into a country, we will give you all the expertise that you need. We will give you all the facilities that you need. We will help you for 4 or 5 years, and then we'll pull out. You can take it on. We'll actually service you in what you want to do. We'll give you all our facilities, all our training, all our library, everything that you need, you can have at your hand, and then we will withdraw and allow you to do whatever it is you want to do. With that, a man can't offer you any more than that. And this is the kind of heart that is in it. So go for it.
Yes, that's the selflessness that these folk are sharing with us. And that wasn't just the WEC, but it was other organisations saying that we will give you the benefit of our knowledge. We will orientate you. Your people can work with us, but you have your distinctives, which we don't want you to lose. And then you can move off and do your own thing. And I think we can only say that we've got to take up the challenge and utilise. It would be stupid for us to have to go and learn all the things that others have learned that we can receive from them. On our own. So I think what we'll do at this point is just to have a break. We'll stand and we'll pray. If you can pray for us as team, and secondly for what is happening in the world, that we will be aware of what God is doing, and that those jointings and linkages that God wants to cause to take place will happen, and that the enemy will not be able to thwart them. So let's pray for our own structure, getting it right for the future, and those links out there into the world. I'm going to ask Phil if he'll lead us off, and then maybe one or two other people would just like to... Oh, right. Yeah, I really wanted you to have in your hands some of these tools. Do look through all of the leaflets in your folder. I've mentioned the teaching papers. Think about the events that we're doing, Spring Bank Holiday Celebration. Actually, you didn't have in your brochure... in your folder, the brochure for the Scottish Holiday Week, but that's now on your seats. John, can you tell us just a couple of sentences what's happening?
What's happening?
Yeah, well, you've got the site booked, you've got caravans.
Yeah, we've got site booked. Last year, Kelvin Country Centre opened a pretty good touristy type place, which is fun for all the family, and it's only sort of about 8 miles away from us. We were looking for a site and didn't really know this was going on. We now found that booked it. We've ordered our marquee and what have you. We've managed to get hold of a lot of caravans now for the event, which is the 23rd to the 30th of July, and so we would invite folks from your own churches as well as obviously Scottish people to be there. It's a very nice part of the country. We've had enough bad weather for the last 4 or 5 years to think that it's going to be a good one this time round. All right, and I'm sure you'd really enjoy yourself. It's much more of a relaxed time than a sort of festival type situation. Yeah. Right.
Last year we had a great time together. The weather actually almost defeated us, but in the end Satan overstretched himself, and it was the weather that caused the caretaker to get saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit on the very last night of the event. So that was really tremendous, and we're looking forward to a great time together. If you can't get up there and you're down in the south and you'd like to be involved in something that Chris and I and Phil Moabe are working in, that's the Take 7 week at Shepton Mallet, which was Royal Week, but is now Take 7. Then there's a couple of Pioneer leaflets. One is Thai teams for young people that like to work in evangelism in the summer. And the City March, which you need to get hold of. And a couple of teamwork leaflets, Urban Vision. Phil Vickery is experienced in the area of working in the inner cities. And if you have a need of understanding your situation, then do get hold of Phil to come into your area and help you with research. And there's the Harrogate Week that Dave Tomlinson is organised. I think we failed to bring up the Youth for Christ leaflets, but if you are interested in the Cutting Edge week for young people with Youth for Christ, then we can pass those on to you. Now, I just want to briefly speak about the sheet Tomorrow Today that you have in your folder. Hands up those people who saw a copy or copies of Fullness some years ago. How many of you? Quite a number. Okay, well, I've travelled around the world, as you've heard, and I have met people from time to time that said, oh, you were involved with Fullness, weren't you? I still have all my copies of Fullness in a folder. I lend them out, but I make sure I get them back. It was a significant little magazine. Never made any money, never paid for itself. We discovered one of the reasons why it never made any money. There was one large American preacher, both large in his ministry and large in his physical person, who used to get Fullness magazine. And one day Gerald Coates got a tape of the month from this particular church. The tape of the month was a rehearsal of his article in Fullness. This particular brother had received Fullness magazine, lifted Gerald's article, preached it in his church, and it was so thrilling that it became tape of the month, and it found its way back onto Gerald's desk. Obviously, he was taking one copy for a church of 2,000 people and passing it on verbally. No wonder we never had a huge subscription. I think it got up to about 3,500, which is not really enough to break even, and so it was always subsidised. We feel that such a magazine is necessary. We don't want to look back to Fullness. There's no way that we could emulate Fullness in its entirety. Certainly one thing that we would lack is the tremendous design abilities and humour of Nick Butterworth. And his work continues, as many of you will see, on the bookshops and in the card shops and so on. But it's not available to us at the moment. But we still feel that it is right to produce a magazine which is mainly directed at leaders, but also at Christians who are on the forefront of the vision for kingdom life and seeing the kingdom life of God affect every area of society. And so we feel at this time that we should move forward in producing a magazine which we're going to entitle Tomorrow Today. It's going to hopefully be out for May of this year. It will be called the July issue, and that will be the first of a quarterly magazine that will carry all sorts of articles and things about which Rod is going to talk to us in a moment. But we are very excited. What we're going to do as a team is to put in the money that we would normally spend on our Team Spirit news, which is distributed free, into the magazine each quarter, at least for the first year. And that means that in order to break even, without actually paying anybody for their work, but just to break even, we need to sell around about 1,500 copies, which is not a huge amount. In fact, if every team member just took 10 copies of the magazine, that would mean that we sold around about 300 without actually doing anything. I think all of us feel that we could manage to sell 10 copies of the magazine each in 3 months. So we've already got quite a substantial start there. But what we want to do is to encourage you to get behind us, not just because you're part of our setup and you're working with us, but we want you to go away and really pray about this, because we feel that with this tremendous sphere of influence that we have at this time, that we want to give the little bit that we've got out into that wide world that God has opened up to us. And so for the first year, we want to see the groups that we're working with getting behind it, taking out subscriptions, and so on. In actual fact, the magazine is going to cost £1, which probably, if you compare it to things like Buzz, is expensive. But if you compare it to the kind of trade magazine that a specialist group of people would be putting out, a small circulation magazine to a specialist group of people, then it is not expensive at all. Anyone that works in specialist areas will know that those kind of magazines cost upwards of £50 a year, probably for 6 or 12 issues. And so when we put it into that context, it's not expensive at all. Now, we would like to encourage people to get behind it with bulk orders, and to do that we're going to offer a kind of trade facility, so anybody who buys 10 or more copies can have them for 70p each. And we want to encourage you to go back, use it in your fellowships, but don't just use it in the fellowships. If that's the extent of your vision, then our magazine will plateau out very quickly and it won't do what we wanted it to do. But go back and think about, as a fellowship, paying for subscriptions for strategic leaders in your areas. Get behind it for people that you have a vision for to share. It's not going to be articles simply by team members. We're going to draw in people from all sorts of different streams that we feel have something to say. In order that it will have a fairly sharp prophetic cutting edge, we've asked our brother Graham Perrins, who was the driving force behind Fullness, and also Dave Matthews, to act as editorial advisors. And all the main articles and the main content of the magazine will be sent to them for their comments, and they will have input into it. We don't want to create a big structure that makes it difficult for us to run the magazine, but we do need input. We've also been in touch with Gerald, with Dave and other brothers to share with them, and I think their attitude at the moment is that they're very positive towards the idea of the magazine, but because they're all so busy, they're saying, thank God it's not us. If you can manage to practically get this thing off the ground, then the Lord bless you, and we'll be with you in every way that we can. And I take that as a very positive line of thinking. So I want to encourage you to get behind it. Rob, will you just come and share a few things about the contents and the sort of people that will be contributing, what the first issue is about and so on?
Yes. Not sure I've got a lot more to say, really, but I know that is sitting there after what John said, after I sat down about undercutting, and thinking it's very easy to undercut yourself on a thing like this and say, well, we're just thinking about producing another magazine that's a sort of a follow-on from Teen Spirit News, which in fact it is not.
No.
And I believe that it is a significant step that we as a team have agreed to take. It is not just, you know, another little magazine that we're pushing out. It is quite an important publication that we are thinking of producing. And in view of what Norman said about the guy reacting to the breaking of bread at the Four Together Conference, I'm thinking how easy it is for us to actually undervalue what we have and what we've experienced and the teaching that we've received. And I believe there is an awful lot of teaching that we have, even within our own circles, that needs to get out further. And it's not going to get out just through us. And I believe firmly in the power of the written word. And I believe that magazines can even reach where we cannot. And so I'm really saying I'm firmly believing in this magazine as a vehicle for some of the good things that God has been revealing to us over the last few years. And it isn't just to us. As John has said, it will be to the ministry will be from other people as well. From people like Roger Forster, Graham Cray, Ishmael, Derek Prince, Patrick Johnston, Patrick Dixon, etc., etc. We are approaching a lot of people to contribute to the magazine. And all I can say to you is that you will have ministry through this magazine in your fellowship that you might never get in terms of spoken ministry. And I'm not just trying to, you know, give you a sales pitch now. I believe that. That it is important. And you will get some good quality ministry in this way into your fellowships. So can I encourage you, please, to seriously consider not just to take the magazine yourselves, but to encourage your folk to take it, not just to take three copies and pass it round, please. If we're going to succeed, then we do need financial support. And so can I ask you to consider really encouraging your people to take the magazine, at least one per family. Okay. We're going to be covering subjects like healing and deliverance, which is going to be the first issue. And in that magazine, Derek Prince will be contributing, Christine and Ishmael. It's going to be a wide range, just from those three people. And, you know, it's going to be a really good issue, okay? We've got regular contributors. Derek Poole will be contributing regularly. Ian Farr and Chris Hill from our own team, just to name a few. We're going to be looking at evangelism, at education, at women and women's ministry, at prosperity and poverty, at health in terms of AIDS and all those other things, social action. We're going to be looking at virtually everything that we can look at. So can I really encourage you to take a form over there and really sort of spread the word, please. Not just in your own fellowships, but in other churches in your town with whom you have some sort of relationship. Can I encourage you to please spread the word to them as well? And who knows, you know, we might end up with more than 3,500. I'm believing for it. Okay, let's go for it. All right. Can we say something about Body Book as well?
Yes, just briefly.
Okay, Body Book. Can I just ask how many people here have actually got a copy of Body Book? Great, good. Well, there are some over there. They're £2 each, and I believe in its own way, Body Book has been quite a success. It's been really well received.